Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Primetime with Isaac Insoo.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Primetime with Isaac Insoo.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Primetime with Isaac Insoo on 1080 The Fan.
All right, what's up, sports fans? That is right, no Primetime with Isaac Insoo. It is Schultzy, Rashad Taylor, and Will Ortner today. Rashad, good to have you in. Happy Monday, my friend.
Schultzy and Schad Show.
That's Schultzy and Schad Show? I didn't even think of that.
Starring Will Ortner.
I like it. Ooh, it's so Will Ortner's like the Andy Richter of the Schultzy and Schad Show. See, you're way
when I figure out who Andy Richter is,
you're way bitter. You're way better than him. He's kind of
he's
more
the
bitter.
Guy. Is he the? He's way the guy
bitter.
From
way Andy, better than him.
Andy Richter is from.
That's not the Conan guy, is it?
It is the Conan.
It is Conan.
Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take that. That guy's funny.
Kimmel,
he makes me laugh.
Yeah.
He is pretty funny. I would say he's probably out of all those. I don't even watch late night TV anymore. I don't really know what's going on with it. But if there are sidekicks still, I do feel like Andy Richter would have been the best out of the group, even still on TV today.
I think the only one still going around is Richter, or not Richter, Guillermo with Jimmy Kimmel, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Everyone else is kind of gone.
Man, late night TV is. You don't watch it anymore because it be real. It kind of sucks.
Like, right?
I mean, there used to be a time to where you had your show, you know, whether it was Conan or Tonight Show, you know, with Leno or Letterman. Like everybody had
your guy.
Even at a point like Arsenio Hall. Like I'm a 90s kid, you know, for the most part. So Arsenio Hall was super super cool.
You're talking
late
about
late night TV,
the peak of the late night wars. Absolutely,
absolutely, man. So now it's like. I don't really care. It's not as cool anymore. There's nobody that I want to see talk about whatever they're... And if I do want to see somebody talk, I'll watch Club Shay Shay. Or I'll watch, you know, one of the many, many podcasts that are out right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everything, visual access that we've got to our favorite athletes now, stars, people that we've seen on TV now that are, like, doing their own shows in, like, another format so we get to see them kind of unfiltered. Yeah, that... It seems to be where a lot of the news gathering happens nowadays as opposed to traditional formats.
Listen, if you were going to school for journalism and you wanted to be on TV or work in the media in some way, like, I think those days are coming to an end because athletes are starting to be able to tell their own stories now, you know?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no, it's not.
I want that inside info.
It's entertaining.
Constantly.
Like, I'm not sure, Will, if you've seen, but Jeff Teague might be the funniest person on earth.
That dude is hilarious, and he's also one of the, like, rare athletes that is totally okay being like, I wasn't that good in this situation,
man,
and
self-awareness
this happened.
Is huge.
Right? Like, he doesn't have to get into the whole Paul Pierce or Ron Artest or, not Ron Artest, Gilbert Arenas, excuse me, where it's like, I was so great. And it's like, well, dude, you were pretty good. You were okay. Like,
yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah. You were slightly above mid.
Yeah, he's yeah. great about saying, bro, I was trash in this game. I knew I wasn't gonna be able to guard him. I knew we was gonna lose. Like, that's an honest take from people. Like you said, most athletes are going to tell you how much greater they are than everybody else. So if you haven't get a chance to watch, man, I don't know the actual name of his podcast, but he is comedy gold.
I'm trying to remember the last time I even like cared about late night TV. But it was we're talking like a decade plus. I mean, it's been a while. I watched Conan like right before he took over the Tonight Show in college, and then Jimmy Fallon eventually, you know, that all happened after Jay Leno and him had their snuff out. And essentially, YouTube for like 2 years, I felt like was just a collection of Jimmy Fallon clips from late night, or maybe that was just my crappy algorithm, but that turned me off so much to late night television. I'd so much rather be binging The Office for like the 100th time.
Well, I don't know if there's an easier show to binge than The Office. Well, that's like true. Over and over and over again.
Your comfort show.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your comfort show?
Oh my gosh. It's The Office is up there. Like, I'll be honest, The Office is one of those shows that it ranks pretty high up there. I'd probably say Martin. Like, I can put Martin on and watch from the first four seasons. Fifth season, not so much, but the first four seasons and watch them over and over. And that was made in 91 through about 94, 95, and I could watch those over and over and it wouldn't get old.
Yeah, Will, what about you?
The Office was a big one, but it's not on Netflix anymore. So
it's on the cock.
I know, but I'm not going on to Peacock for it. I'm not searching out all that kind of stuff. If you're on Netflix, you got a shot. Or the new one I found is I just go and find like compilations on YouTube of like podcasts that I like, and I flip it on because that's how I fall asleep. Like, I'll just throw on an old, you know, Isaac and Suk episode, and I'll just download 3 or 4 hours straight, turn it on, go to sleep, and then the listens. Yeah. But two,
you're a master of your craft.
Well, you know what? Someone has to be. And
I mean, who doesn't want to be sang to sleep by the soothing sounds of Isaac Rock?
I'll tell you what, there's nothing more terrifying, though, than like waking up from a nap to like a Suk, ha, ha, ha! It's
fart
absolutely
noises,
terrifying.
Like, yeah.
It will haunt your nightmares.
I can imagine.
Of trying to, the worst thing that you could possibly wake up to is like a bad laugh or like one of those like crazy large air horn sounds like in a TV show. Because I love to watch like, you know, like The Office is one of them, Family Guy's another. I'll just fall asleep to that. But there are very loud moments. And all of a sudden you'll just wake up and it's like, hell
And that's
no.
the thing. I don't like loud stuff when I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah.
Like if I'm about to take a nap or something like that, I'll turn The Office on or I'll turn on Martin because there's not a lot of bang bang. But like some people can fall asleep to like Die Hard and other things like that. Like I can't do it. I can't do it.
You know what my new one is?
Your new comfort show later on?
Not even a show. Just fall asleep to golf.
Oh,
I'll flip on golf and I will go to sleep. I'll go to sleep on like YouTube golf shows. I'll fall asleep to like YouTube old like Masters 2006 Saturday round, whatever pops up. Golf has become my new one. I fell asleep. It's probably the peak old man I've gotten. I fell asleep, like fully clothed, in my recliner, to golf videos.
I love it,
and it's happening more and more frequently.
Did you have
terrifying.
A beer in your? I'm sure you have a cup holder in your recliner.
In my recliner? No, it's an old Lazy Boy. Like this is hand-me-downs. Hand-me-down.
That's awesome.
Don't
get rid of that.
I didn't have a beer. I did have a protein shake, though, in the hand. Like, instead of beer,
right.
Protein
like
that's
shake.
On,
that's on brand. That's on brand.
I don't know how, like, the cap was open, too, but it didn't spill it. And I woke up to my roommate coming in just being like, what the hell? Like, what's going on here?
We got bro Will Ortner falling asleep in the recliner watching golf. That's hilarious. Oh, my goodness. Soccer. That would be my sport that I fall asleep to.
Ooh, that's
so
a good one too.
Yeah, I'm pissing Patrick Harris off. I'm sorry, fellow 1080 The Fan personality, but it's so easy to put that on and then I'll wake up, 40 minutes later and there's been two goals scored. I don't even know what happened.
So you guys are going to hate me, and especially because I host a show called Football Sunday.
Yes.
Okay. So for those of you who don't know who I am, I, on Sundays, yeah, Jordan is there. He's our producer. Me and the great Joe Fisher, you know, every Sunday, it was football and sports Sunday, football during football season. We start our show at 9 a.m. on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We're off at 11. We usually pal around for about 10, 15 minutes after the show, and then we head home. By the time I get home, 12 o'clock, it's nap time. I'm asleep. I miss that slate of 1 o'clock games every single Sunday.
I mean, thankfully, usually the 1 o'clock slate is the lesser of the
but every
battles
now and then
that
there'll
Sunday,
be some,
but still, that is
every now
funny.
And then there'll be some gem right in there at on the 1 o'clock game that you just that I miss, and now I have to go watch it back on YouTube or find a way to watch it again. But I that's my comfort sleep is I'll have football on and I'll take a nice little hour and a half, 2 hour nap. That's my Sunday.
I can do that a lot too on like Saturdays if the early slate is Garbo. Like I'm a big
It usually is. Like
right.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Iowa State take on Purdue in a battle of punt versus punter.
Yeah, we're
right?
Good.
I'm going to go get up early, work out, watch my little bit of College Game Day, and then I'm going to go take a nap, wake up right around the fourth quarter. So if there's anything interesting, anything I need to pay attention to, I'm right in there with you. And then it's go time from noon until Pac-12 after dark ends at like 10 o'clock. Like I'm locked
depending
in
on who
ready
that,
to go.
Depending on who that game is, I may not be watching Pac-12 after dark.
Yeah, that's all such. But there's always something weird that happens, and you can watch that one in a bar.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and that is like, God, it's like the last game of the night, so you're like feeling degenerate. Oh, maybe I want to place a bet a little bit. Yeah, that Pac-12 after dark. No, that's where it's at. I wasn't laughing at you a second ago. I was laughing at a couple of our responses on the Vancouver Ford text line.
So I wasn't that funny.
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
I am laughing with
you. Read your messages, bro.
Bro, it's not you. I thought that you think I was making fun of you or something. Oh, gosh. See, now I've pissed my co-host off in the first segment.
It's not starting well.
No, this is going to be a contentious show. I can feel it. But you can hit us up on the Vancouver Ford text line 864-6-FAN. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They take care of you before, during, and after the sale. They will treat you right. And I know Patrick has a Bronco. I know Suk is a Ford customer as well from Vancouver Ford. Sorry for a second. I thought you were my granny. She's dead. I don't know if we're talking about like these specific sports or what just puts us to sleep. I'm not trying to like. It's like only grannies sleep. That's weird. Sleep happens for a third of our lives. We all need it, and it's something that is
it's one of my favorite.
Not
things
me.
To do.
Okay. I sleep for 6 hours. My day consists of 2 days for the normal person.
You really are Will Bro.
Have you seen
douche,
that those TikToks?
No.
Those are my favorite ones.
No, is there like some amazing living plan that you're trying to
no,
get?
No,
like,
no,
more
not
hours
at all.
In the day for you.
No, not at all. There's just like a lot of alpha bros out there that are like, I do more in my one day than the rest of the world does in theirs. So my one day really counts as two. So every single week, I'm 7 days ahead of you. It's very Gary V-esque. It's like you break up, you get up at 4, and then you work until noon, and then
and
you take
a
2-hour nap. That's a day, and then you get another day. It's a very big, yeah. Like, Mamba mentality.
That's
group.
What I was going to say, the mm-hmm. Mamba mentality. And we've all seen that Kobe saying, yeah, I start working out at 4 a.m. It's like, Jesus, you wake up at 3 o'clock to go work out at 4? Which is more normal than not. You know, a lot of people get up that early
right.
to work out. But Kobe was working out 4 and 5 times a day. You know, he was Kobe was kind of crazy.
Yeah,
like, you know, just the way he did stuff was a little bit offbeat. But, hey, if it works for you, I say keep doing it.
That Gary Vee stuff, though, it really starts to sound like Tony Robbins bullshit, doesn't it? Like, Kobe, of course, he beat everybody to the gym, and he was the last one to leave. It's his mentality and his work ethic is second to none in basketball history or just athletics. But really, like a day equals 6 hours because you're more productive? That's just some self-motivating bullshit. Bullshit that it's just trying to twist your mind into thinking that you're better. I mean, we're all doing that every
Whatever
day,
works,
I guess.
Man.
We're trying to convince ourselves that we're smarter than the couple next to us or we actually know what the hell we're doing in this life. None of us do. That's just so weird. That eats at my craw.
Hey, man, whatever works for you. If it gets you out of bed every day and you know, you feel like you put in a productive day's work, then, hey, man, more power to you, Brody.
One Vancouver Ford text says, I just watched primetime on YouTube to fall asleep. LOL, just playing. I mean, I have listened
Will
to
does.
Primetime
yeah,
like and Danny and Dusty like in the evenings. I don't think I've actually passed out listening to them, though. Dirt and Sprague is just too early, so I always listen during the day. Never get to that in my evening routine. Hmm.
No, I don't know. I don't really listen to the soothing sounds of 1080 the Fan's, you know, baritones. You know, they're all amazing voices. That's not something I want to fall asleep to. You know, like, hey, can you put on something soothing? Yeah, girl, hold on 1 second. Let me turn on Danny and Dusty. You'll love it.
Speaking of Alpha Bro stuff, that Alpha Bro crap is some level of compensation I can't imagine needing. Sounds exhausting. That's from Jordan on the text line. And actually, we do have some Alpha Bro crap to get to today. There's so much to get to on the show, you guys. I think we should probably start to shift gears to sports, maybe get into some of the many topics that we have to break down from the weekend. There's so much to react
to. A lot of hours of a show, so we can do a lot.
I mean, we have 4 hours, one of which is the club where we really try to avoid sports. But even then, like, we've got stuff that we're not going to get to today. It is chocked full. So let's move on. We've got an absolutely loaded Monday show. A ton of stuff to react to. The NFL draft all finished up. We'll talk about where the local talent ended up. We'll examine the success of the Pac-12 as a whole. Switching gears to the NBA for just a bit. The Suns being swept out of the playoffs. There's a ton of questions about where they go from here with the highest payroll in the league. Oh my goodness. Lots of trouble in Phoenix. Also, the NFL allowing players to wear guardian caps during games. So we're going to dive into that. And tons of fun planned at the club. We're going to take a trip down memory lane. Talk about our first cars. You can text in with how you got your first car, what it was. Talk about Southwest Airlines getting rid of open seating. Yes, that sounds like it's coming. I believe Souk flies Southwest Airlines a lot, so I'm not sure that's good news for him.
I fly Southwest.
Will fly
Love
Southwest.
Southwest. Bags fly free.
It's nice. Southwest is great when you are poor.
Well, it sounds like it's going to cost you more to fly Southwest. So we'll get into that in the club. But first, let's get started with the poll question. When we come back, it's NFL draft related. It's a Schulte, Sean and Will edition of Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Let's dive right into your poll question brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com. On Friday, Isaac and Souk, when they were still here, posed the question to listeners and tweeters everywhere, who is or will be under the most sports pressure? Caitlin Clark, Caleb Williams, Kalen DeBoer, or Kirk Cousins? And very, very convincingly, Kalen DeBoer won that with 51% of the vote, a not close second, but I would say enough of a number to where people legitimately think he's facing a lot of pressure is Caleb Williams compared to 31%, and then Caitlin Clark and Kirk Cousins, 10 and 8%. I would absolutely agree with that before we get into our poll question for today. Kalen DeBoer, new coach at Alabama. I mean, we've been talking about it for months that you want to be the guy that follows the guy that follows the guy. You don't want to be the one that follows the guy in Nick Saban. And Kalen DeBoer taking a massive risk, essentially. I mean, you're thinking about yourself as an elite coach. You're thinking about your tenure at one school compared to another. I want to have a legacy here. I could be one of the greatest coaches of all time. Alabama looks like it could get me there faster, maybe. We're not in the world of Alabama being the most prestigious school in the nation anymore. We're just not. And to see Kalen DeBoer risk essentially having statues built for him at Washington to take that job in Alabama, I think that puts the most pressure on him out of these four.
Well, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of pressure for Caitlin Clark, number one. Like, I think she's going to exceed every expectation. Caleb Williams is a first-round pick. And he's going to the Bears. So,
and he's got Roma Dunze.
Yeah, he's got Roma Dunze. There's pressure on him as the first-round pick, the first overall pick, but not really. Who's the other person on the list?
We got Kirk Cousins as well.
Come on, man. Like, he's going to be your starter. You just paid him a lot of millions of dollars, 90 of which is guaranteed.
Yeah, but
you're not
going to
start him at this point. And even if Penix does come out, we talked about this yesterday on Sports Sunday. Even if Penix does come out firing during camp and everything, you're not going to not play your $140 million quarterback, 90 of which is guaranteed. So you're not going to do that. So there's no real pressure there. But taking over for Nick Saban at Alabama, like, football is a religion down south. We really like it here in the Northwest, right? We really, really like football.
Yeah, we have better stuff to do, though, some of the time.
They love it in Tuscaloosa. That's what they do. They roll tide. You know, that's everywhere from every McDonald's to every Piggly Wiggly that you'll find there. Everybody's bleeding crimson. That's just what they do there. So to take over for somebody that's won, was it five national championships or six?
I believe six.
Six.
Five at Alabama, one at LSU.
So the five that matter are in Alabama and have top 10 draft pick after top 10 draft pick, have great offensive and defensive lines all the time, great skill players on defense. Like, those are big shoes to fill. And again, I don't know if you necessarily even want to be the guy after the guy. Like, I mean, I think if no, seriously, I think, you know, whenever you take over for Chip Kelly, you know, and when he was at Oregon, the first couple guys were kind of duds. I mean, you did make it to the national championship the next year, but everybody knew Helfrich wasn't.
He wasn't refilling the cupboard. He can't recruit.
Yeah. He really wasn't. So
couldn't move the program forward.
And you're leaving a program like Washington, who, as far as the Pac-12, has always been a player, right? Mm-hmm. As far as the Pac-10, Pac-12 has always been great. You know, now they've really rebuilt their reputation over the last few years. And now you're taking your talents to Tuscaloosa. Like, you can't be mad at anybody. And it's what I've been saying, and people get so mad at me. Like, there was a lot of fear that Dan Lanning was on his way out at the end of the offseason, right? Like, who was it that was off? Was it Michigan or Ohio State? Who was offering, or Dan Lanning's name was in the conversation for who?
For Alabama.
Alabama.
He was in the conversation
He's
for
the reason,
Alabama.
Yeah, it was Bama. And people were like, oh, I think there was real fear that Dan Lanning could leave, and people were looking at Oregon as potentially a stepping stone school. I mean, not to say it's a stepping stone, but it depends on what that next level is. If the next level is Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State, I think it's hard to turn down a school like that if you're at Oregon, if you're at Washington. We were all super surprised that Dan Lanning said no to Alabama, because I think most people would accept it. So Caleb DeBoer, like, hey, man, more power to you, but it's going to be an uphill battle. It might be good for a minute because Alabama's going to be loaded, you know, with talent still, but are you going to be able to have the same cachet as a Nick Saban? Like, that's the thing. Like, Nick Saban is, he's the top politician in Alabama. And so how do you top that?
Well, I think that Dan Lanning turning this down also puts even more pressure on Kalen DeBoer, because it does show kind of that landscape in college football that you're in now, where if you've got money, and Dan Lanning really has no better place to be than here in Oregon with Uncle Phil, with some of the best facilities that literally this program started the wave across college football of nice uniforms, really nice facilities. You know, I know that there's been money under the table for a long time, but bringing these kids in and showing them something amazing and showing them something shiny and new, you know, that started with Oregon. Yeah. And the prestige just from that, prestige is hard to measure, but the prestige just from that should, you would have thought even a decade ago, want to keep coaches here. But now in the NIL landscape, now that it is basically all money and free agency, as long as you've got that cash backing you, why would you leave? So I do think that Kalen DeBoer has the most pressure. It's obvious. I'm surprised, though, that Kirk Cousins isn't higher on this list. I, for one, do not get what Atlanta was doing in drafting Michael Penix Jr. Literal weeks after they gave Kirk Cousins money. It makes no sense to me when you're the GM saying, hey, I need $90 million. I need $100 million a year bucks. And I need to go get this quarterback because we need to make him our guy. And we're going to use these draft picks and get better around him. And then all of a sudden, they're putting somebody behind him. If it's a win-now mentality, which supposedly in Atlanta it is, from what we've been hearing leading up to this, with the hire in Raheem Morris, it wasn't an inexperienced guy. This is somebody come in ready to go, take them to the next level. What the hell are you doing? So, and Kirk Cousins, I think, now is looking over his shoulder wondering, well, how long do I have? Does it necessarily matter? He's 30, 35, 36. He's only got a couple of more years in the NFL anyways, but it just doesn't jive with what you were hearing 3 weeks ago and what the team was doing. So almost as well as Michael Penix being on your heels, I feel like Kirk Cousins is feeling the pressure just from being in the organization that he signed with because of all this tumultuousness happening right now.
We're not even sure if Kirk Cousins is going to be ready to play come week one. I think that's the big thing. Like it's an Achilles injury. Am I correct?
Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles.
Yo, like that, in most cases, it takes, you know, about a year to come back from an Achilles injury. And so you're expecting this 35-year-old veteran quarterback to be healed up enough for the start of week one with now a shorter preseason, mind you. No, there's no longer the 4 weeks of preseason. Now it's a shorter preseason, and you expect him to be ready for week one. I think they went out and got Michael Penix Jr. because ultimately they knew that Kirk Cousins wasn't going to be ready. I don't think you have to take him there. I mean, I think he would have been gone in the first round, and maybe you don't take Michael Penix Jr. at all, but I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I'm pretty sure we'll talk more because that's the biggest story of the draft that's come out. We're not even talking about Caleb Williams and the Bears getting, you know, Odunze. Like, we're not even talking about that part. The biggest kind of story so far of this draft has been Michael Penix Jr. to the Falcons.
Well, I think what Atlanta and the noise coming out of Atlanta is they've been in quarterback purgatory really since Matt Ryan. I mean, you can even make the argument that the last year or so of Matt Ryan, they were in purgatory. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't agree with the Michael Penix pick. I think if you're going to do that and draft the replacement but have him learn under Kirk Cousins, well, then you should have went with McCarthy, someone who's a little bit younger, who can learn for 2 years, and then he's 23 when he's making his first start, not 27 if Kirk Cousins goes the full guaranteed of the 2 years, right? Because when you look at that contract, it says 4 years, but he's guaranteed the first 2 years. After that, it changes, and that's when you can get rid of him. But for me, with Atlanta, I get that they don't want to be stuck in quarterback purgatory because that's really what they've been stuck in, right? They've been good enough with everything else around them, defensively and offensively, to be right near the playoffs. It also helps that their division sucks, but not quite good enough to get over the hump, but not bad enough to where they're going to be up in the top 10 to make a pick like that. And they don't think they'll be back there because they do seem to think that Kirk will be ready. And if he's not, then Penix will get him further. That all being said, it just doesn't make sense on if you're going to do that, draft JJ McCarthy, because it does sound like teams were going to move up and get Penix. Like, Penix had the most volatile movement between the different mock drafts because it was really, do teams care about his injury issues? Clearly Atlanta didn't care about his injury issues and they fell in love with him, so they felt like they had to make the pick at 8. It just doesn't make sense with their signings in free agency.
All right, shifting gears to today's poll question. We could debate this for probably the entire three-hour show, but we're not Atlanta, so I don't have that much of a dog in that fight. And I'm not really the hugest Kirk Cousins fan. It is just kind of crazy to see a team, in my opinion, bungling this so much. But which team had the worst NFL draft? That is our poll question today. You've got four options: the Dallas Cowboys, the Buffalo Bills, the Carolina Panthers, or, as we were just mentioning, Kirk Cousins, and the Atlanta Falcons. The Panthers, really, I mean, they had an okay draft. They were able to trade up to the first round, but still suffering from trading Bryce Young. The Buffalo Bills are on the list because they ended up trading their only first-round pick to their bitter rivals, the Kansas City Chiefs, allowing them to draft a wide receiver that essentially will continue to keep them better than you and keep you losing games against them. Let me be a fly on the wall in that room. Hearing what the hell the logic is behind that would be astounding to me. And then the Dallas Cowboys did not fill their biggest need at running back, at least through the draft, after letting Tony Pollard leave, but they signed Ezekiel Elliott today. So which of those teams had the worst draft? Go on to Twitter and vote hard.
Ezekiel Elliott back to Dallas makes no sense. I'm a Patriots fan. I know exactly what Ezekiel Elliott did coming into this year, which is absolutely nothing. So
three touchdowns.
This is more of a nostalgia move for Dallas. Hopefully they can find some of that, hoping they can find some of Michael Jordan's secret stuff to give to Zeke. Because right now, trust me, if he plays anything like he played last year, this is just another silly move by the Cowboys.
Apparently Jerry Jones said this was always the plan. And if it was always the plan, why didn't you just never let him go in the first place.
I don't believe him.
I don't want to dive into Cowboy talk here, but that is just the stupidest move when a team lets, in any sport, they'll let a player go, then they'll bring him back a year later.
I don't want to hear anything Jerry Jones has to say about let your team, let the people in charge that's not you run your team, because as long as you run things, you will never win, Jerry Jones. I know he's not going to hear this ever, but he should probably know that.
Oh, yeah. He cares so much about what we have to say. You know it's true. All right, yeah, which team had the worst draft? The Cowboys, the Bills, the Panthers, and the Atlanta Falcons. You can find that AAA heating and pool question posted every day on Twitter here during primetime. All right, let's get into the NBA. We've got a lot of football to talk. Ton of NFL draft recap planned for today. Some Ducks spring game recap, but I've got to slip a seggy in about the NBA playoffs. It was actually some really good action to watch over the weekend. Biggest news, though, the Phoenix Suns, the highest paid team in the league, got swept by Ant and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Why? We'll go through a porous modem next, but first, here's Will with SportsCenter.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
What a busy weekend of the NBA playoffs. I tried to watch almost all the 8 games on. I think I was close to being successful. I thought Sunday provided 2 of the more entertaining contests.
Haven't watched any Cavaliers Magic. You know you haven't.
Okay, you're right. You're right. There's
it's
no...
okay, because as soon as it said it was on NBA TV, I said, oh, hell. Nobody's watching these games.
Outside of, like, the first quarter during game one, because I had a parlay going, which I lost, by the way, so that sucked. But outside of that, I don't think I've watched the Magic Cavalier series. Although, I did see, you know, Banchero actually hitting some shots in that one, so good to see Cleveland. I never have liked Cleveland winning anything, so good to see them suffering a little bit. I don't know why Donovan Mitchell isn't shooting well, though. It's the playoffs. It's what you're paid to do. But I really want to dive into the Phoenix Suns. What the hell, Phoenix? They are terrible. They got swept by the Minnesota Timberwolves in the first round with the highest payroll in the league. Crazy game yesterday, 122-116, the final. Ant, who, in my opinion, Ant Edwards, Sprague made this point earlier on Dirt and Sprague this morning. He looks like a young Michael Jordan.
He looks like 87 Jordan.
Yeah, is he him? And he put that poll question out there, and I think an 87% return was an absolute yes. The leadership... telling Cat how to play, where to go at such a young age, 22 years old. No, Ant is him, and it's so exciting that we have a new superstar to watch in the NBA. But it's not like Phoenix played terribly, 122-116. Devin Booker threw down 49 points. Kevin Durant added 33. Outside of that, though, you got nothing. It's essentially 82 points from those guys and 34 points from the rest of your roster, and that was essentially the same story in Game 3, and we're talking about 2 home games, Rashad. 2 home games for the Phoenix Suns that said, before the season, with their big 3 in Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal, you can't guard us. Well, when one of us is off, then the other one's going to be on. Hey, if I can't score 30, he's scoring 30. You're never going to be able to beat us. Yeah, there's a problem, though. Who the hell else do you have on your roster? I'm looking at this. It's like Yusuf Nurkic, essentially, and we'll get into the amount of money that each of those 3 guys is making in a second, because it's absolutely insane. But Yusuf Nurkic, who is making right around $18 million himself, is essentially their next best option other than Grayson Allen. They've got absolutely nobody. You want to call like Josh Okogie or Nasir Little or an aging Eric Gordon a true role player on an NBA playoff team right now? It looks bad. It looks so bad. And when basically a third of your points are from players not named Durant, Booker, or Beal, you are never going to be successful. And so I want to give props to the Minnesota Timberwolves and Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. All of them played their asses off, and they are such a good team. But Phoenix, we had higher expectations for them, and they absolutely suck. So, Rashad, help me understand what the hell's going on with this team, how three highly paid guys that are supposed to be NBA superstars just aren't acting like it.
I mean, it's hard to say that they're not acting like it. Bradley Beal is 13 for 21 and had 49 points. Devin Booker had 49 points.
Yeah, Booker
points
went off
yesterday.
But that's like the first time he's went off all series. And missed
seven shots. Like, you know, you got guys on this team that can absolutely light it up. Man, KD almost had a double-double, 33 points. Again, he missed five shots all night. Bradley Beal is the odd man out. At least last night he was. You know, 4 for 13, 9 points. That's not going to get it for you. That's not why you brought Bradley Beal in there. And I think it's really everybody wants to take a big three mentality like the Miami Heat did. You know, right? When you have all those,
like 12 years ago.
Yeah, when you have all those guys in their prime, but you happen to have all those guys that played relatively different positions.
Well, and that's changed.
So in basketball, man, I got a big in Chris Bosh, check. Mm-hmm. I've got a wing in LeBron, check. And I've got a guard that can swing between 1-2-3 and D Wade. So you've got all your major positions covered. You've got all these guys play the same position.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Beal plays 2, Devin Booker plays 2, KD plays 3 or 2, depending on, you know, what night it is, or 4, you know, because he's so damn tall. There's none of these guys that don't do anything different. Like, LeBron was a offensive creator and could be able to get guys their shots, things of that nature. Chris Bosh was a rebounder, could play with his back to the
basket. And LeBron could play defense.
LeBron could play D. Chris Bosh could protect the rim. Dwayne Wade could play defense. He could protect the perimeter. Everybody had a role. When you start putting these guys together and they all do the same thing, like, there's no cohesion, which is how you end up losing to a Dallas in the playoffs, mm-hmm. because they've got every position and everything covered, as opposed to here are three guys that are just really,
Minnesota,
really good at basketball. Minnesota, yeah.
It's okay. I was listening to Mike Greenberg. He did the same thing this morning. There's so many teams in the playoffs right now.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Dallas initially, when Dallas beat Miami.
My bad.
They had a full roster, you know, top to bottom, as far as. That's not what you have in Phoenix. And then you start throwing in Nasir Little. You know how
he was getting booed.
He can be at certain points. Eric Gordon played 39 minutes and had 6 points. Nurkic is Nurkic. I'm not going to bore you with Jusuf Nurkic stats. You know what it is if you're a Portland fan. So they have three really good guys that didn't really play a lot together during the season because of some injuries. And it just wasn't enough against the Timberwolves team, who's been building towards this moment. It's been a slow build. We can take a look at what OKC is doing, and we're like, man, that's how you do it. Well, the Timberwolves is how you do it too. You know, outside of trading for Gobert, you draft Karl Anthony Towns, you draft Anthony Edwards, you find the right coach, you find the right bench guys, you get the right veterans, you get the right mix of people, and what do you know? They're blowouts. Almost every game, with the exception of last night, is a blowout because they've got guys in every position that know what they're doing. That's not what they have in Phoenix.
No, and it's a valid point that you make about the big three. Any team that wants to have like three scorers nowadays, one of those guys, like you were talking about, Rashad, you know, there's defensive skills from Chris Bosh. There's basically a Swiss Army knife in LeBron James. One of your three has to be a Swiss Army knife.
Right.
You can't build a team around three scorers. We only had two scorers here in Portland and Dame and CJ. But
they both did the same thing.
No,
and I
exactly.
think that was the issue, yeah.
But what I'm saying is you can't just add more points and expect things to work. You've got to add pieces off the bench. You've got to add defense. You've got to add, you know, Matisse Thybulle, I thought, was a great addition to the roster before they let Damian Lillard go. That was the exact type of player that Phoenix needs as well.
You've
frankly.
Got to have somebody that's willing to sacrifice. The great part about this Timberwolves team, Karl Anthony Towns has been the number one on this T-Wolves team for the past 5 years, right? And now he's in a position to where he's had to take a step back and clearly be the number two to let Anthony Edwards cook. Devin Booker isn't taking a step back. KD isn't taking a step back. KD's probably the only one that gave up some shots so Bradley Beal can get his. But Bradley Beal isn't taking steps back. And I think you can do that when you're able to do so many extra things on the floor.
I think the irony is what would be the perfect type of player to fit with this threesome, right? With Booker, with Beal, with KD, is the guy that they traded away to go get Beal. Like, Chris Paul is old, 100%, and he's not the point guard that he used to be. But Chris Paul would be perfect at making sure that the ball got into these superstars' hands and they were in positions where they could score and score effectively. The problem with these three is, just like you said, Rashad, they're all scorers, but they're all scorers in a way where it's ISO ball. When you watch those playoff games, because I watched all four of those games, it's KD gets the ball, everyone clear out. It's Devin Booker get the ball, everyone clear out. They're going to try and get to the paint. And if they're not able to get a layup or get an easy fadeaway mid-range jumper, they're kicking it out to the next person, and you're hoping that they're open. Well, what does this Minnesota team do? They play really good defense, and not just from Gobert, but from everyone. Edwards.
See that block?
Right. In game, what is it, game two, I believe, is where he struggled offensively. He was under 50% shooting, but he made up for it on the defensive end. And it wasn't always about getting steals or blocks. It was just about making shots difficult.
Yeah, there it is.
And the Timberwolves are not afraid to play good, hard team defense. And so I think you saw, not only was it a matchup, it was a mismatch, right, for Phoenix, but you also saw it matters how you construct a team. It's not about, let's just get the three best players and put them on the floor together and then we figure out what happens. It's, do they work together? Do they make sense on the floor together?
We've seen a lot of big threes since the initial big three with KG, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. How many of them have worked?
One.
Since that one.
Miami Heat one. And Boston Celtics.
There's been one.
Those are the only two that work.
You put Brooklyn together with KD, Kyrie, and that didn't work.
I would say technically the Golden State big three as well with Kevin
They were
Durant,
drafted.
See, those guys
were. Everyone is drafted but KD. KD is the only one that you went out and you traded for. You didn't trade for him. He's a free agent signing. Yep. He left because he knew he didn't have to do as much and he could go to a team that was built. All the rest that you've traded for or free agents have gotten together and went has not worked.
Well, no. To your point about a point guard, too, Mike Connolly, I mean, he went 2-for-10, but he was still plus 16.
Old man River.
Because he, as you said, distributes. He knows how to set his guys up. He knows how to get the offense going. So it's just crazy to see Phoenix with so much money. I mean, we're literally looking at Kevin Durant making $48 million, Bradley Beal making $47 million, Devin Booker going $36 million up to $49 million next year. All these guys are going to be making $50 million or close to it the next season. You literally have money for Yusuf Nurkic, Grayson Allen, who they just signed to a $70 million extension, and Nas Little, who...
Boo, send them to the remix.
They're literally booing him in Phoenix. I'm wondering how James Jones is even being allowed to keep his job. I understand they did just get to the NBA Finals recently, but didn't they fire their coach after that and say this next one was going to be the one to do it? How can you then turn around? We're hearing that Frank Vogel might be in danger of losing his job now, too.
Well, he's probably
going to be the fall guy, but it's already come out that GM James Jones is going to be allowed to keep his job. The organization is leaning into the guy that apparently is a nice dude, worked in the Players Association for a while, so that means he knows how to construct a roster in the NBA. It makes no sense to me, and frankly, it is bat-ass. It is bat-ass when a team spends so much money on three guys thinking that that's what's going to get it done in the playoffs in the NBA. So, I digress. And apparently Frank Vogel even wanted the front office to add a point guard to the roster. And they said no. That's according to Chris Haynes. That came out today on Twitter. So I thought I'd throw that out there as we digress and get back into some NFL draft talk. All right. Lots of Pac-12 players taken in the NFL draft here in 2024. And it almost exactly reflects the team's success, like each team from 1 to 12 in 2023 during the season. We'll also take a look not only at that, but where all your Ducks and Beavers ended up. It's 3:48 on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. Having fun so far on a Monday. A very packed Monday show. Lots of NFL draft recap. Ducks spring game recap. There's lots of NBA to talk about. We were just bitching about the Phoenix Suns and seeing the Vancouver Ford text line agreeing, saying just how crazy it is the promising young Suns looking a couple of years ago to now.
He's yeah, like, they, I mean, how the mighty have fallen. Like, and Chris Paul, it just goes to let you know how good of a player he really is. Every team he goes to, when he leaves, they're worse off. Now, don't pay attention to what happened with Golden State this year. Golden State was, it's just their time. You know, they've been great for a long time. Now they're not. That's not because of Chris Paul.
Happens to everybody. Steph's really getting older. Just happens.
It really does. And Steph was the only bright spot. But Chris Paul was really the glue, kind of like Will was saying, that kept that organization running the way it was and, you know, really as successful as they had ever been since they went to the finals in, what, 93?
Well, and you point out the success of the Golden State Warriors. I think it's the perfect example of roster construction. They had Sean Livingston coming off the bench. They had Andre Iguodala. They had so many different guys. Like, remember David West taking pretty much a pay cut, to go play. He did minimum 2 years for the Spurs and then joined Golden State for the minimum for a couple of years after that. They had David Lee grabbing rebounds for a while. There's so many people that just decided to hop on over to their roster for nothing and contribute to many championships. And there's not much you can do to beat that.
And that's what happens to a great championship team. You know, the Lakers at a point when they were winning in 2000, you know, they had, you know, Mitch Richmond, you know, come and play with them over there for a little bit. I think J.R. Ryder played on that Lakers team, you know, they had been really winning some championships in early 2000. You see Robert Horry, you know, go and play for San Antonio at a point. Even Tracy McGrady joined the Spurs and almost won a championship. Like, that year that they ended up losing to Miami. Like, T-Mac almost won a championship. So you see, once an organization has really got it going for themselves, they find themselves in the finals or the conference finals over and over again. Other great players or players that were great players and can still contribute don't have a problem being like, yeah, I'll go ahead and play for you guys real quick.
Well, and even still, man, the Lakers, another great example of a team perfectly constructed. Rick Fox, great role player that was a starter, didn't score as much, you know, as Kobe. And I know Ron Harper was their point guard at the time before Derek Fisher came into the picture. You had guys like Glenn Rice. You had Devin George, who weren't NBA stars, but they knew what to do, and they could offer you defense. They could offer you something besides three dudes scoring.
So I saw this article on Bleacher Report, and we don't have to talk about this too much, but the headline was, did Portland win the trade for Damian Lillard?
Wait, what?
I think we looked at that and said, what? Like, you know, okay, so the two teams that were really involved in the whole Dame trade were Phoenix, who's been eliminated from the playoffs, and the other of which is Miami, who was on the brink of being eliminated from the playoffs.
You mean Milwaukee?
Milwaukee. I'm sorry.
Freudian slip there. The Heat. So, the Heat are coming
for
you.
That's where we thought
Heat fans
Dame
coming for you.
But so Milwaukee and Phoenix, the two teams that were closest involved in the whole trade for Dame. Again, We're done talking about Phoenix because they're out now. But Milwaukee is a game away from, you know, being having to get pretty much a gentleman sweep at this point. And Dame may or may not be playing the next game. Not playing probably.
They said, according to Shams Charania, the boot is off his foot and there is no decision for his availability.
When you said boot on his foot.
No, off. No, it's off.
When you said he had a boot on his foot.
Oh, sorry.
A game. Yeah, he's not playing. And it's okay. There's no point in trying to save your playoff life this year. It's over. But
so essentially, because they're saying it can't get any worse, but you're saying because the injury is already there.
Yeah, if you're in a boot, bro, you're not playing in this next game. It's okay. And if they were down 3-2 at this point, I would say okay, there's maybe a good chance Dame plays. You're down 3-1, you're not coming.
No Giannis,
You're not. There's no point in you risking injury. But to ask if the Blazers won this trade, no. There's been one bright spot of this whole trade for the Trailblazers, and that's been DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton showed that, okay, this is the number one pick that was drafted by Phoenix some years ago. Okay, you can be this good. I think the offense is going to evolve around him, but other than that, like, this season was a big wet fart for the Blazers. And so, no, they definitely didn't win this trade, and you lost arguably, and I say arguably because I don't think it is, arguably the greatest player in your franchise's history.
Since we've stumbled into hot Blazer talk here, really quickly, I did see a quick Blazer headline today that Moses Brown probably not expected to be back for the Blazers.
Shocker.
Huge shocker. But I would have hoped to see that, like maybe with a veteran. You know, I love Jeremy Grant. He's a good player. But I don't want the Blazers to do anything but tank next year. There's really no reason for them to be sitting on the fence, trying to win a few games, trying to say they're competing for the play-in. There is no reason to do it. They got to lose. They got to go for it for Cooper Flagg. I don't think
the Blazers need any more young talent at this point. That's all you have to acquire. But I'm still looking at a team that I'm curious to know, and I'm sure, you know, one of our nerds out there on the text line are for sure to know, but how many games the starting five actually played together this season? And I'm sure it couldn't have been any more than about 15. Like, everybody not hurt, and I'm curious to know what that number is, because we never got a chance to see what this iteration of the Blazers would be with Scoot and with Simons, with Shaden, with Jeremy Grant out there, with Ayton in the middle, with Williams coming off the bench. Like, we never got a chance to see what any of that looked like. Is it possible they're not as bad as what we saw this season? Like, they could be really good. We just have no idea of that. I think you've got years of drafting early-ish draft picks. You know, you're going to get another one this summer, and it's not going to be Cooper Flagg. That's next year, but depending on where the Blazers fall in the draft, this would be the year they get the number one pick, because it's supposed to be a weak draft, but this would be the year that the Blazers luck out and get number one, you know, from there. But I don't know if – I think those draft picks are – it's currency. Figure out what you can do with some of those draft picks to make something happen now. What if there's a young-ish player right now that's available on some team that they're trying to move on from? Like,
but who would that be? I mean,
I don't know.
Wasn't a deal for Portland last year for help for Dame.
Well, Portland didn't have 50 million draft picks at this point last year, you know, for Dame. Now they do. They have a bunch of capital that they can use now.
They had the number 3, and apparently that wasn't valuable enough for an impact player, which I find to be bullsh, because Kristaps Porzingis was traded to the Celtics for almost nothing.
When the number 1 was Wemby, everything else looks everything else looks like a
and the Blazers were one away. Yeah. You're not wrong. Oh, my goodness. I really didn't even mean to stumble into Blazers talk here.
It's really easy to do. It's really easy, especially when you're not great at the moment. Yes, that's easy to do, is stumble into Blazers.
Well, it's just depressing, because to answer your ultimate question, did the Blazers win the trade from that article or headline? No, because they never will win the trade, because they traded one of the top 75 players of all time. Okay? They never could have won the Clyde Drexler trade because they traded Clyde Drexler. Not to mention they got, like, Otis Thorpe back for him and almost nobody else.
Take any Otis Thorpe slander.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a couple Blazers fans out there that are laughing at me and just pissed about their Otis Thorpe slander that they're hearing. No, ultimately the Blazers lost the trade the moment they decided to give up on Damian Lillard and move forward. They basically have to try to rebuild with draft picks and what-ifs and guesses going forward. So, no, they lost it. But let's get back into some NFL draft. I do want to get to who was taken from the Pac-12, as well as the Ducks and Beavers that found professional homes over the weekend. Want to dive into the Ducks spring game as well. You're listening to a Schulte, Sean, and Will edition of Primetime here on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.